Yes, it is, and it is great to have your company on a Wednesday afternoon. Gee, she was a rugged night, though, wasn't it? But the clouds have largely cleared, and it's looking quite pleasant outside, and we appreciate your time wherever you may be listening around the place. Sam Edmund with you for Dwayne Russell, just having a little week off. You can call us anytime, 1-300-736-736, or the speckled text 0433-98-1116. Well, while we might have been shut down in world sport of late, it's all been happening in the back rooms of Formula One. Sebastian Vettel is out. Dan Ricciardo on the move. Carlos Sainz on the move. And a man who would be paying very close attention to this is a digital manager at Motorsport AU and, of course, the co-host of the Boxer Neutral's F1 podcast, Rob James. Thanks for joining us, Rob.
G'day, Sam. How are you going?
Hey, I'm going very well. How about yourself?
Yeah, not too bad. I mean, it's remarkable that Formula One has endured such a merry-go-round in the driver market, and we haven't even turned a wheel in the season proper. So it's classic Formula One. We're already thinking way ahead than we otherwise need to be. But yes, 2021 is going to look pretty different this time next year.
So our Dan Ricciardo, we always keep a close eye on for natural reasons, has left Renault and he's going to join McLaren, who will be fitted with the Mercedes engine, which is very encouraging for Dan Ricciardo next season. But that doesn't change the fact that should we get up and running in the 2020 season, he has to see it out with Renault. Now, we know loyalty doesn't necessarily exist in Formula One, but if you listen to Renault, it hasn't been handled that in a classy fashion, or am I reading too much into it? They haven't taken the news that well, Renault.
Oh, probably. You can understand where they're coming from. They obviously paid mega bucks to lure Dan Ricciardo out of that Red Bull seat. Obviously, there were circumstances why, I guess, he wanted to leave Red Bull in the first place. And yeah, they sold him, I guess, the dream, but it turns out maybe it was a little bit more to it that Dan didn't really see beyond sort of his initial two-year deal with the team. But you're right, he does, when the 2020 season does get underway, he still has to wear the yellow and black of Renault for whatever rounds that unfolds. And the team will also be wary of sort of, you know, revealing too many secrets about next year's car as well. So, yeah, it's a little bit of a compromise in that front, and it's probably fair enough that Renault probably want to put their resources and thoughts to their to the young Frenchman Esteban Ocon, Dan's teammate, for the rest of this season, because he's a very, very quick driver as well. So it's a little bit of riding through the motions, but I think, you know, if they want to get their money's worth, I think they'll still want to have Dan Ricciardo put on a good show and represent the Renault brand proudly.
It is one of those ones, though, isn't it, where it's loyalty when it suits the team, though, isn't it? Because there wasn't probably a heck of a lot of loyalty for someone like Nico Hülkenberg, who's now fallen by the trackside. So it is funny. It depends who's on the receiving end of the stick half the time.
Yeah, it's quite bizarre in that circumstance. We've got Nico Hülkenberg, who's trying to, I guess, fish around for potentially a seat back at Renault in 2021. They might have to sort of patch things up in that relationship. And, you know, that's probably not the worst thing. That's why pencils have erasers. So there's every reason that we could see Nico Hülkenberg going there. But, of course, that seat has been linked ferociously with, you know, guys like Sebastian Vettel and Fernando Alonso. But you have to understand, Renault haven't won a world title since 2006. So a lot of water needs to be crossed under that bridge in order for them to be a world championship threatening team. I mean, if you look at sort of the last decade, only really two teams have won the world title, and that's Red Bull and Mercedes. Mm. So it's going to be pretty hard to be, I guess, the next Formula One empire the way things currently stand.
Now, should the season resume in Austria, it's going to be fascinating right from the off, isn't it? Because just before we leave the Ricciardo situation, it was a pretty strong statement from Renault saying, quote, that reciprocated confidence and unity are now more important than ever. It was almost like a parting shot several months before they actually part.
Yeah, I mean, it's a dirty business, you know, and it literally is business in that sense. Obviously, yeah, you know, I touched on how much money Renault would have spent to get Dan across the line, and maybe their investment hasn't really paid off in that fashion. But, you know, likewise, it would have been a much easier sell if had Dan had a couple of podiums and a bit of light at the end of that tunnel. I mean, we don't really know what the 2020 car was like. I mean, all reports in the pre-season testing was that it was an improvement on last year's car, but maybe there was just, you know, maybe the long-term, I guess, sort of future is maybe stronger at McLaren, who next year actually changed to the Mercedes power unit. So this will be actually the first time Dan's changed engine marks in, because when he was at Red Bull, they were, of course, with Renault at the time. So this will be the first time in about, well, I don't know, 6-odd years that he'll be driven a different power plant. And, of course, we all know the might of that Mercedes power unit at the back of it, and potentially that McLaren combination with Lando Norris might be the longer-term bet going forward.
How does Dan Ricciardo and Lando Norris get on, do you think? Two of the more colourful characters on the grid?
I tell you what, for a team like McLaren that used to be classically regarded as a very conservative, polished corporate team, to now have two drivers, I guess you could say, who enjoy creating memes on the internet and social media and tattoos and crazy hair and just laughing, it's certainly, bizarrely, quite a fun team to be with. But they certainly sort of uphold that sort of striving for excellence. I mean, don't get these guys wrong, even though Ricciardo and Lando can have a laugh off the track, and they do get along pretty well. You only have to look at sort of the various videos going around of those two interacting over the last year or so. But they're ferocious, hungry racers. I mean, when that helmet is on, they turn into completely different beasts. But thankfully, they seem like good blokes when the racing stops, which is always a good thing.
I think there probably would have been a few Dan Ricciardo fans, Rob, to be honest, who might have liked to have seen him join the Prancing Horse and get across to Ferrari, but that seat obviously taken by Carlos Sainz. Now, Martin Brundle, obviously the former driver turned commentator, he's been saying that Ferrari had actually been turned off going for Ricciardo, and they had concerns perhaps over how, for lack of a better word, coachable he was and some of the internal issues that Dan has seemed to have had with his co-driver. Do you read much into that?
I think there's a bit of column A and column B with that. I think if Ferrari came knocking, and yeah, the romance of it all would seem very appealing, but we have the last couple of romantic alliances for Ferrari with Fernando Alonso and Sebastian Vettel haven't exactly worked out in world titles. So the way things stand, Charles Leclerc is the future of Ferrari, the way things are. So for someone else to come into that environment, as an outsider, relatively speaking, is going to be a hard sell. So I guess that was, A, part of the motivation of Ricciardo going to Renault in the first place, was that he was the definitive number one driver in that squad. At McLaren, he probably still will be, but let's not forget Lando Norris is a McLaren protege as well. So there's a bit of context around that. But, you know, the way things stand, I think they're really, Ferrari are predicting their next world title will probably come from Charles Leclerc. And if it comes from Carlos as well, then so be it. But I think there's a little bit more to it than perhaps Ricciardo just going out. Wasn't enough money. It's probably, there's a little bit of status and also in terms of what's going to actually deliver that elusive world title.
And before we let you go, Rob, is it the end for someone like Sebastian Vettel? Obviously a superstar at Red Bull of the sport, couldn't replicate that at Ferrari. Is there an appropriate drive for him? Is there a fitting seat somewhere?
Probably the armchair at home with a lot of trophies and millions of dollars in his bank account. Look, it would be, it's a tough, the only person that would know would be Sebastian. Would he want to leave the best team on the grid in Red Bull, the most infamous, the most famous team in all of world sport in Ferrari, and then effectively go back to the middle of the grid and sort of start again with Renault? I'm not entirely convinced. And given that, arguably, yeah, the guy's 31, 32, but he's very much at the sunset of his career. He was the youngest world champion. He's been in the sport for over a decade now. Let's not forget that. So his time in the sport is can be measured in only a couple of years as opposed to a decade. So I wouldn't be surprised if that was the end of Sebastian Vettel in F1. And to be honest, he'll probably leave with a bit of dignity intact and still on a high note as well as he rightfully should as a four-time world champion.
Absolutely. You'd sit comfortably in that recliner if you'd had those trophies in the cabinet alongside you. Hey, Rob, what are you hearing about the season resuming? Obviously, July 5 is the date. Two races we hear back-to-back weekends in Austria. And then some reports today from The Guardian that a doubleheader at Silverstone with meetings on July 26 and August 2. Obviously, the vast majority of the teams are based in the UK. What are you hearing about the sport getting back up and running again?
Yeah, well, I reckon the calendar that was released by Formula One a few weeks back, that was a little bit, you know, in my opinion, sort of shoot for the stars and potentially land on the moon instead. It still has to be very flexible, obviously. It's very hard to be freighting personnel nowadays. And so the thinking of logically doing it in different sequences in continents, and you know, we're hearing that perhaps the UK may not be as willing to even let a Grand Prix or professional sport in that capacity run, even without crowds. Because let's not forget, there's you know a whole bunch of operational people that need to run the events as well. So we may not end up at Silverstone, and Formula One will probably, you know, they'll have done their own due diligence in making sure that they'll have a plan B. But certainly, we'll see a few repeated Grand Prix, shall we say. There's talk about going to Germany and Austria a couple of times in the season, because we have to make a certain number up of events to actually call it a world championship. So we'll certainly see some racing at some point, but in which order? It's anyone's guess.
I certainly hope so, Rob. I hope you're right. I do miss kicking back late at night and watching the races and Drive to Survive filled a void for a while. It only sort of whet the appetite further, didn't it? It had me itching even more to get it back. And I hope that's sooner rather than later. Thanks so much for joining us this afternoon.
Anytime.
Rob James there, the digital manager at Motorsport AU, co-host of the Box of Neutrals F1 podcast. Plenty happening around the boardroom tables of the Formula One teams across the world. Mark has rung in from Bacchus Marsh. I think he's got a Formula One topic of conversation, maybe even a conspiracy theory as well. Afternoon to you, Mark.
Hey, Sammy. How you going, mate?
Going beautifully in here. Hope you're keeping well.
Yes. Cruising along, mate. Cruising.
Very nice.
Now, remember in March we had the Australian Grand Prix?
Well, we thought we had it, didn't we?
Yeah. Do you remember in the middle of the night the two guys that ran off?
Yes, the drivers that flew back early.
Yeah, Vettel and Raikkonen.
Yes.
And that pretty much ended the whole Grand Prix right there and then by their two actions. I actually think they've lost their rides because of that. It cost millions for them teams to actually come over and get ready for the race. Everyone was set up. The whole lot was ready to go. And them two guys ran off at the last minute and just basically torpedoed the whole event and cost millions of dollars to not only the teams, but to organise the Victorian government, to us, taxpayers, everyone. And I believe that Ferrari have gone, you know what, you cost us millions and the sport's not happy with what they did. They couldn't say anything because it'll look bad because of the COVID-19. But I think under the table, that's what finished them off. And that's why Ferrari said they ended the talks with Vettel, and I don't expect Raikkonen to be driving either next year, and I believe it's because of what they did in March. My conspiracy theory.
Did Lewis Hamilton fly out early as well, though, Mark?
No, I think he held back a few hours.
Okay.
Because I thought Hamilton was in the first bunch, but then I did a little bit of looking into it, and what I believe it was Vettel and Raikkonen that buzzed off about 4 or 5 a.m. in the morning and shot through and basically in the middle of the night. And then Hamilton's come out the next day and said he's not comfortable probably with racing, but he hadn't bailed yet. But that's after. But he's only come out once the tail of Raikkonen have already hit the road. They're in the air.
Mark, I love a good conspiracy theory. So you're saying the race would have gone ahead in the face of COVID-19 if those two drivers had hung around?
Correct. And I believe that now that's why they're Gonski. That's why Vettel's gone. And Raikkonen, he'll get his marching orders as well. Goodbye, Ski. You won't see him ever again.
Okay, good conspiracy theory, Mark. Appreciate your contribution.
Cheers, Sammy.
Mark from Bacchus Marsh there. We're talking conspiracy theories early. Michael Jordan, Pizzagate, wasn't the flu game. It was the food poisoning game. Lance Armstrong, you got a good conspiracy theory? We've spoken about a few in here. The Hand of God with Diego Maradona. Were the All Blacks food poisoning in 95? Was that deliberate? Prior to losing to South Africa in that year's World Cup. Give us your thoughts off the Speckle text or the Werribee Kia open line. When we come back on the other side of this, we'll discuss our ongoing search to find SEN's greatest All-Australian team of the AFL era. Today, it's all about the halfback flank. Give us your nominations for the greatest halfback flank on the other side of this.